Welcome to Buddies for Life, the lifestyle platform for breast cancer survivors. The Ugly Five by Professor Carol Ann Benn. This episode is brought to you by Nestle Health Science to promote nutritional awareness and education throughout your cancer journey. To support you along every step of your nutritional cancer journey, visit mycancermynutrition.co.za. Statements of fact and opinions expressed in this episode belong to the contributor and do not necessarily reflect the opinion or position of Nestle Health Science. Professor Carol Ann Benn explores the so-called Ugly Five cures that are not offered in an oncology suite but promoted on social media. Using the Ugly Five can be considered a dare. Many people send information out on WhatsApp to try and offer advice and help in hope that the receiver will avoid any treatment that may have toxic effects, as well as ensuring that ultimate cure, victory. Besides, a treatment that offers a cure with less side effects always sounds attractive, particularly when you're scared, worried, and desperate. A cure without significant side effects or cost to your pocket or person sounds like the way to go, but the cost of some of these natural treatments are not as inexpensive as you think. Natural doesn't always mean safe. Remember, mustard gas was used as a cancer treatment in the 1940s. These are the iconic, large, and powerful animals that many tourists seek to see on safari and represent conventional treatments in recommended oncology care. It's oncology, surgery, radiation, long-term adjuvant treatment, and survivorship care. Big Five breast cancer treatments. The lion, surgery. The leopard, targets therapies and immunotherapies. It's expensive and elusive. The buffalo, oncology, unpredictable, sometimes prone to violence. Chemo, sometimes looks like just chewing the cud. The rhino, radiation, often not used properly and de-escalating, shorter treatments. The elephant, is survivorship, endocrine treatment, and compliance. It never forgets. The Big Five promo. The reason why everyone should want the Big Five is that mainstream cancer therapies are safer and more effective than ever. New oncology drugs work better with fewer side effects, and novel drugs target specific mutations in cancer cells to minimize harm to healthy cells. Highly precise forms of radiation destroy tumors while sparing normal tissue. New ways of harnessing the body's immune system's powers to destroy cancer cells, and of course using smart surgical techniques which allows for tumor removal safely, minimally improves recovery times and decreases recurrences. The alternative approach. Some diagnosed with cancer prefer to opt for the alternative approach, as in refusing conventional treatment. This doesn't sit well with us conventional oncology specialists. If this is your choice, remember to check the data. If you choose any treatment, go for regular ultrasounds and assess how you're responding to your treatment of choice. Hedging all the bets. Complementary treatment means that you're taking conventional treatment but adding your own mix to the recipe. Now, this can have haphazard results, not dissimilar to if you're adding different spices and mixes to your recipe without understanding the basic ingredients. The Ugly Five. The Ugly Five are ugly not because they're bad, they're just not attractive now and are not in the conventional oncologist's basket. The Ugly Five are animals seen as having less than attractive features or are less graceful than the other animals. So, while loved, I bracket them as unattractive and possibly harmful. Not surprising, I've had numerous patients asking me about all manner of substances, from castor oil to ivermectin, and let's not forget vitamin B17. I only learnt about 13 of those in varsity. Eating apricot kernels doesn't sound dangerous, except it contains a compound called amygdalin, an enzyme that your gut turns into cyanide. Well, you know my standard response is, let's check the data. The Ugly Five are the spotted hyena, vulture, blue wildebeest, marabou stork, and warthog. Medically, mine would be ivermectin, antiparasitics, laetrile, or vitamin B17, cannabinoids, and castor oil. What the Ugly Five have in common is that some can do harm as we don't properly understand how some of them work. Let's get the ugly on and start with highly controversial substances, concerns of medical cover-ups, and conspiracy theories. And who doesn't love a good conspiracy theory? Ivermectin. Hard to see, lurky, and not well understood, probably the hyena. Who hasn't heard of ivermectin? This drug gained fame during COVID. The background is the drug is a veterinary medicine used to treat parasitic diseases, but received an FDA approval for unusual parasitic infections in 1978. Studies on its anti-cancer effects have been ongoing since 1996. The mechanism of action is that it works on multiple signaling pathways, including the mTOR pathway, as well as influencing the tumor microenvironment. Whilst it's important to understand that the theory that cancer is a parasitic disease is misguided, it may behave like a parasite, but it is definitely not one. One shouldn't take the few studies and anecdotal case reports that have been done showing the effectiveness of ivermectin for treating a wide range of cancers from cervical to breast and across subtypes, including triple negative cancers, liver, prostate, endometrium, melanoma and lymphomas, and translate that into a carte blanche to treat cancers. With such a diverse population of cancers that the drug has an in vitro effect on, I would be cautious of using it at this stage. Ongoing research is needed about when to use and what the drug does, what the cross-reaction with other medication is, as well as for which cancers it should be used. Antiparasitics. How about some vultures? Rarer than you think and not well understood, but useful. Drugs used for deworming have been advised for certain cancers, and while they decrease the activity of the hedgehog pathway, which is common in a variety of cancers from lung, gliomas, ovarian, and colorectal, one of the common antiparasitics, mebendazole, crosses the blood-brain barrier. Ivermectin doesn't. Again, a few case reports highlight the saying, one swallow does not make a summer. My advice with these drugs and utilization of off-label, that means prescribing a drug for a different purpose than for what it was approved, that use is a big not now. So as they're used for one indication, suggested for another is to allow time for proper trials and let's see what the results are. The feeling about inexpensive, ugly drugs is that there will never be funding for drugs where big pharma can't make a fortune. I can guarantee you that many academic scientists would willingly spend many hours trying to find cures or at least long-term survival outcomes to put a killing blow to many a cancer. Look what happened with thalidomide, originally used in pregnant women for nausea with appalling birth defects and now used as an excellent treatment for multiple myeloma. Vitamin B17. The marabou stalk, rare and ugly. Does vitamin B17 cure cancer? Well, no, you don't need to clean out your ears. You heard that correctly. You may not have heard about vitamin B17, and that's because it doesn't exist. Medically, there are only 13 vitamins. Vitamin B17, also called laetrile, the trade name for a purified form of amygdalin, is derived from the seeds of edible plants such as bitter almonds, apricot, and peach pits. It's touted as an alternative therapy for cancer, but it's a man-made version of a chemical found in lots of different plants, and it contains cyanide. There's no reliable evidence that it works as a cancer treatment or as a treatment for anything else. It's not available for sale in the UK or Europe due to lack of evidence of its effectiveness. Bitter almonds have been used since the 13th century to treat fevers and headaches. A synthesized version made by a guy called Krebs called it vitamin B17. This is not so. The cover-up story is based on studies done at Memorial Sloan Kettering that were never published but reached the media via a science writer from ASK. Studies were performed extensively in the 1970s and 80s from the National Institute of Health Review to a New England Journal of Medicine clinical trial. A systematic review of 36 studies and a Cochrane review unfortunately showed no benefit and only symptoms of cyanide poisoning. Most of these studies were done at a time when understanding the different biological types of cancer wasn't available. So the mechanism of action is that intestinal enzymes break down the drug to produce cyanide, which is supposed to kill cancer cells and leave normal tissue unharmed. There was no doubt that the in vitro anti-cancer activity was effective on cancer cell lines. However, high doses can and do produce cyanide poisoning because the oral form breaks down into cyanide, which is a cellular poison. There is an effect on non-cancer cells. And guess what? Cyanide poisoning is no small deal. This drug was popularized in the US and Russia over a century ago. It's now banned in the US and Europe, although you can still get it in some countries. Cannabis oil, the warthog. There is a quote from children's movies, "Everybody loves pig," although cute sounding, they can still gore you. While medical legal cannabis is around, it's a drug that needs a cautious approach to use. Cannabis is extracted from the marijuana plant. The compound cannabidiol, or CBD, is usually the extract that is used for medicinal purposes. The compound tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, has psychoactive properties and is the component that provides the hallucinogenic effect. Cannabis oil is often claimed to treat or shrink tumors and cure various diseases like diabetes, arthritis, and insomnia. It's extracted from marijuana, primarily containing CBD, which has less psychoactive effects than THC. While some cannabis compounds are FDA approved for alleviating cancer treatment side effects, there's no clinical trial proof that cannabis oil can treat cancer. Claims of its efficacy are largely based on anecdotal evidence and limited research. Moreover, it can interfere with other anti-cancer drugs as it may inhibit enzymes needed to metabolize these anti-cancer drugs, which either increase toxicity or reduce the drug effectiveness. No human studies support cannabis oil as an effective solo cancer treatment. Cannabis use is contraindicated for some cancers, and the 2024 American Society of Clinical Oncology Guideline on Cannabis Use advises the use of cannabis or cannabinoids within the context of a clinical trial, as the side effects can include memory and attention loss. The drug can be given sublingual, as an oil under the tongue, orally, or topically. Inform your doctors if using the product as a complementary product. Castor oil. The blue wildebeest, the gnu. So ugly, yet lovable, and really seem helpful to the baby zebras and bucks. Rubbing it on your breast, well, what harm can that do? Currently on social media, the new kid, which has been around as a home remedy since times gone by, is castor oil. The use is topical, so does this mean no foul? Castor oil has gained popularity online as a potential breast cancer treatment via topical application. Less harmful than when granny gave you a gut-cleaning tablespoon. Scientific backing for castor oil as a cancer fighter is non-existent, highlighting the need for credible information to combat misinformation spread on social media. Always aim to spot the big five. Being a patient in oncology is difficult. Who do you listen to for medical advice? I have huge respect for scientists who study oncology drugs and are involved with trial work. It's frustrating, requires careful attention to detail, and often with very small yields as we continue to try and outsmart the sneaky little cancer cells. So, let the ugly five be studied first and left on the safari wish list, but most definitely aim to spot the big five.